Hey gang, Kevin Strange here.
Jamie Daniels.
Listen, we're going to be radically changing the way the Patreon works in a few months, but for now, you come in at the $1 level, the $1 level, and you get access to all of my audiobooks, right?
Right.
You get Jorek and the Shaugus Steel, Jorek and the Swamp Phantoms of Vic. You get Cotton Candy.
McHumans. Humans Under the Bed.
You get
Computer Face.
And you get Holy Matrimony. These are hours and hours and hours of audiobooks. As if that wasn't enough, only for $1, and not a dollar each. It's a dollar a month. A dollar a month gets you access to all of that, plus the Overrun episodes of our sister podcast, Watching with Strangers. We do a weekly Overrun podcast every single week. You get a new episode of that show. It's ridiculous not to jump in, help us, support the podcast. We're trying to get 20 patrons in the month of May. And I promise you, in the next couple months, it's going to be worth it. We're going to convert this over. It's going to be a book club, gang. It's going to have merch. I'm going to be giving away t-shirts and buttons and stickers and novels, exclusive novellas and books from Kevin Strange. Just get in now. Get these cool podcasts and audiobooks and stick around because it's going to get only better.
Right? Travis is my sister.
All right, there you go.
Hey, Kevin. What do you want to do about this podcast intro?
For Reading to Strangers?
Yeah.
I was thinking we'd download this broody-ass music. Then you'd be like, Read to Strangers. I'd be like, I don't want to read to Strangers. I'd be like, Read to Strangers. I'd be like, I don't want to read to Strangers. Then I shoot myself in the head. Pow!
See, I was thinking more like Reading Rainbow's theme song.
Like with LeVar Burton?
Yeah.
Like, take a look, it's in a book, that shit.
Yeah, but like, Reading to Strangers.
Reading to Strangers. Reading to Strangers. No, that's a terrible idea. Episode 21, we did it!
Yay!
We did it. We made it past episode 20, but not really, because we're actually recording this episode.
We may fuck up. One of us may die.
We were recording this episode the weekend before episode 20, but for a particular reason. Gang, in addition to making the milestone, the 6-month milestone, 20 solid episodes every week, 20 weeks straight for 6 months. A milestone we brushed ball sacks up against episode 21 with Reading the Monsters, our previous podcast produced by the illustrious Mr. Fred Slow.
The luscious Fred Slow. Seen a lot of him.
So we wanted to do. We didn't know how far we were going to get with this podcast with Reading to Strangers. We kind of joked that, you know, if we made it to 20, we'd be doing something. And we have. We've made it to episode 20. But in addition to episode 20, looking at our downloads, we've also managed to cross another milestone. We've gotten more than 5,000 downloads.
That's like 4,500 more than Reading a Monster.
Right. And that might not be big. You know, people listen to this that have their own podcasts. Maybe they've done...
Fuck you, Fred Slow.
...ton more numbers. But for me, for us... I feel like that's a milestone. So to celebrate, so we're going to do the live episode, episode 20. If you're listening to this, hopefully that already happened and it happened without a hitch.
Or you're listening to one of us explain why we can't do it because the other one died, and then this is a very uncomfortable episode of Reading to Strangers.
So we wanted to do in addition to the live episode, we wanted to do something special for the 5,000 downloads. The idea was, we've been kicking around for a while apparently, but I don't remember actually committing to it, was that we were going to cross over...
cross streams, so to speak.
We were going to cross the streams. We were going to sword fight dicks with our sister podcast, Watching with Strangers. Our co-host, Travis, from Watching with Strangers, is in studio with us today. Hello,
yay!
Travis. Travis, the Encyclopedia Britannica of cult movies.
I think you can still go with fiction, because... it would either be fiction or nonfiction. I wonder who the Encyclopedia Britannica of Nonfiction called Horror Village.
And Jeremy Daniels was the special co-host of last week's episode of Watching with Strangers, the Killer Clowns from Outer Space episode.
Mostly Walking Dead, but
mostly Walking Dead, a lot of Chiodo Brothers, other works, a little bit of Killer Clowns. But the reason that we're recording 21 before 20 is this was the best opportunity the three of us had to get our schedules to work. So what we did was we invited Jeremy over the day we were recording Killer Clowns, and we're going to go ahead afterwards and go ahead and record the 21st episode of Reading to Strangers. Now, Fred Slow hates this, by the way. He calls this inside baseball. He says people that listen to podcasts don't give a fuck about the inner workings of podcasts. It's about, I would say, a good 70% of what we talk about on this show.
Oh, I wouldn't say 70%, but you know, we do mention it at least 70% of the episodes.
We talk a lot about the inside baseball, how this show works.
Well, we also listen to your roommate shower. People come in, play video games, walk through all the time.
So. I'm surprised Rocco isn't
here playing. The cat's like, fuck that. There are three people here. Fuck that.
Too many people. So, we have entered... Now that we're past episode 20, we have entered the we've entered apocalypse season.
Yeah, the summer of apocalypse.
I like apocalypse season better.
Okay,
the summer of apocalypse doesn't flow off the lips. Apocalypse season. Weeks and weeks of killer robots, right?
Yes.
We already said we were going to do this, by the way.
Yeah.
Back in like episode 18, we called out the next episode was going to start Computer Face.
And then we just keep fucking teasing it.
Then we didn't. We ended up fucking around. So this is the official start of Computer Face.
Yeah, and a great time to, if you really can't wait for the next episode, to get on Patreon.
Yes, you will be able to download... Not yet. Well, in real time.
In real time,
because I haven't edited that beast yet. But you will. This is the longest thing we've done. So it'll be...
Like any of it?
Out of all of the stuff that we've done... this is longer than Cotton Candy.
How many episodes do you think that'll take to cover?
We don't say that because we don't want people to know.
Oh, okay.
We want people to down...
It's like baseball. Yeah. Fred Slow be mad at
us. See, if they give Patreon a dollar, they can download the whole thing.
Oh,
we don't want them to say, well, we're 3 weeks in, I'll just wait it out. We don't want to tell them exactly how many episodes it's going to be, because if they can't wait, they can go buy the book and read it, or they can download from Patreon the full thing, so... And you're asking because everybody, well, how many fucking more episodes is this? Well, we don't
sound the voice of the people.
So
maybe 22.
We're gonna talk a little bit about maybe 22.
Oh, fuck!
I can't wait till we do it.
Just trying to sell that Patreon.
That'd be 6 months worth of fucking, almost 8 months worth of one story.
Oh yeah, but...
We'll get one like that. Beetle Brain is like 45,000 words. It's one of the longest things I've ever written.
Yeah.
That won't be long when we get to that one.
Just checking what episode the Scott Singer one I'm listening to is. He's on 38, so yeah, that's quite a bit.
It's gonna be almost a whole year.
Yeah.
3/4 of a year.
Yep.
One
story. One story.
Better be good.
It's good stuff.
So, we're going to talk about Computer Face, and I don't really know what else to talk about with this episode, so we're gonna talk to Travis a little bit. Make sure
he's actually listened to all of our podcasts, so now we actually have a connection. I mean, we made the Reading Strangers page, but nobody's like throwing ideas or telling us how we're doing or anything like that, so we can kind of just interview Travis and see where we're at as a podcast.
Well, let's do that now. So you've listened to all the episodes?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well,
it's a piece of shit. Our show's better.
Well, since you're our friend,
great. Like it. It's a change of pace. It's different from Watching with Strangers, just from in its core, just how it's structured and what you're getting across. I love hearing the stories. I have very little time to read, so it's like the nice thing is I get to delve into Kevin's fiction without having to sit down and read, because anymore at my age and with everything that's going on, reading puts me to sleep. I'll try to read a book and
fix motherfuckers all say they don't have time to read. They fucking play the fuck out of phone video games, though. Let me tell you. Everybody's on, I'm on level 187 of Candy Crush. I've got the gold star from playing every single day consecutively for 5 years. Reading a book? I'm sorry, sir. I have a very busy life. I don't have time to do things like that.
You know the Joe Lansdale book you gave me? I'm 5 fucking pages in. So.
Jesus Christ. You gotta make time, Travis. Like everything else, you know. Do you take time to take a shit?
No. I just hold it all in.
I do most of my reading taking shits. As a bigger man, I'm sometimes 3 dumps a day. Jeremy?
What are you eating?
You don't dump 3 dumps?
I work a waste treatment plant, and 2 is about my...
You get 2. How many dumps you get, Travis?
As a big man. I like to spread them out through the day.
As a big man.
Like, spread them out during the day. You made it sound like he does quite a bit. He just doesn't want to admit it.
You can get through a whole book in a week reading on the pooper. So,
Those books I read of yours on Kindle, that's how I read most of it.
Anyway, the whole reason for this podcast is for people that say, I don't have time to read.
Right? That's lazy fucks that don't read.
The whole point of doing this is for people that don't want to read, that don't want to read. So you've got to experience some of the fiction, but also we cover a lot of topics in the writing community, and I'm very, very, very critical of the writing community. A lot of people consider this to be a sensational podcast, that I only do this for attention. So one of the things that
we'd do a video podcast if it was for attention.
One of the things that I think is cool and unique about our separate podcasts is on the Watching with Strangers, it's all positive. Mm-hmm. Anything I even say negatively towards a movie, I'm always joking. Mm-hmm. I'm always sending up our movie.
It's because you're always doing your favorite movies of all time.
So it's a very you get a very jovial, jokey, positive Kevin Strange on that show. And this show, I've got
Reading Strangers takes us to the dark side.
Pissed. There's shows on here.
See, now shit's ticking in my head. See, I think you should do the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants just to take Watching with Strangers and fuck that movie.
Oh, no,
fuck
no. That Jeremy, movie. I promise you, somewhere in the first 200 episodes, or sorry, in the first 100 episodes, we will do Battlefield Earth.
Goddamn. All right, so Jeremy, you listen to Watching with Strangers.
Yep.
And Travis, you listen to Reading to Strangers. Again, I feel like I'm 2 different people. On each, you know, I have like different aspects of my personality.
I think we're going to reveal the diagnosis yet.
Different aspects of my personality come out
right now.
Of the
he's
show.
Just twitching.
So again, you have to do the show with me when I'm pretty much being all positive. Mm-hmm. Jeremy has to do the show with me where I'm being negative a lot.
Where sometimes I just sit there while you're fucking.
The Warren Downey Jr. side of Kevin comes out on Reading with Strangers.
So tell me about the difference. Like, do you prefer which one? I don't want to say which one do you prefer because you're always going to prefer the podcast you do.
Well,
but you know what I'm saying.
It is. It's two sides of Kevin. I like working with the Watching with Strangers, Kevin. I love the fuck out of listening to the reading
He doesn't want
to
get yelled at and pointed at. You
so much
royal you,
Jeremy. Normally Jeremy's just like this. Jeremy's usually a pretty cool, calm, collected cat. But every once in a while, when I get my shit going or start pointing at him, Jeremy's eyes kind of start to take off. But I have to go, I'm not talking about you, Jeremy.
It's funny, it's like I'm this little schnauzer. And I'll sit in my lap sometimes when he's doing that and just look at me and then fucking look back at him like, it's a motherfucker.
Well, see, it's nice because, like, when I do Watching with Strangers with Kevin, it's like I'm working with Dr. Jekyll. And, you know, he's a smart guy and he's fun to talk with and he's interesting. And then Mr.
Hyde.
I have the convenience of listening to Mr. Hyde come out, like, behind glass on the podcast, and poor Jeremy's in there with the fucking lion.
Okay, let's juxtapose that. Jeremy, you always have to work with pissed off, annoyed, angry, bitter, dejected Kevin Strange. Yeah. But you listen to
me. No, I don't, because I actually go to the shows with you, too. And that's
true.
So I get the yin and the yang.
That's true. But you listen to Watching.
Yeah.
So, again, do you ever wish, like, why doesn't he fuck come over in a good mood when we do Reading to Strangers?
I mean, it's just different. I mean, if we were talking movies on Reading, then you would be happy. When we're talking about SJWs fucking over, shit, then you're gonna be fucking pissed off. You should be pissed off because it's fucked up. I'm in Boston this weekend
with people in frog suits and Keck flags.
Yeah, that whole Keck fucking shit was crazy. We live in a simulation, I'm telling you. I never believed it before, but
tell the audience what Kekistan is.
Okay, Kekistan, this flag that apparently looks like the Iron Cross. Apparently, I've never seen it.
It's the words Keck in a cross configuration.
Oh, is it? That's all it is?
It doesn't look... I don't think it looks too
similar. Well, apparently in World of Warcraft, we thought it was StarCraft, but it's actually World of Warcraft. A lot of Korean players, instead of saying laugh out loud, they put K-E-K, Keck, right? I don't know if that's like the, you know, Korean version of laugh out loud.
So the 4chaners and the Redditors, all the mouth-breathing... weaponized autism folks from the internet community, they sort of took that as an inside joke and they started using Keck.
Yeah.
And then it evolved even further.
Yeah.
Then Pepe,
which is the funniest shit ever.
So what's Pepe?
That fucking frog. It's like Dat Boy's cousin. I don't know if you know who Dat Boy is, but just another internet meme fucking frog that's out there. And he just had that smug face on him, like the weird face. And they've used him for a lot of shit, and they kind of like picked it up with Trump.
He became the poster child on the internet for the Trump campaign. And basically what it was the 4chaners, the Redditors, the internet community hate social justice warriors. They hate how self-righteous and indignant they are. They hate feminists and all their bullshit. And
they hate that they're taking away freedom of speech.
Right. And so these guys on the internet, freedom of speech. The internet was basically like, let's see if we can get Donald Trump to win, because that would make these people melt down into hysterics.
And it worked.
And so they started using Pepe as a Donald Trump meme. And it was basically just like, and Pepe,
is that the Trump with the frog face thing?
Okay. Every time I look at Trump at a Pepe, all I can think of is, it's like the internet's, it's like this smug fucking, when Pepe shows up, you've been trolled. When Pepe shows up, you've been trolled. The internet literally trolled the world with Donald Trump. I would venture to guess that the quote unquote white vote that came out of nowhere in all these cities and got Trump elected was 4chaners and Redditors.
Well, I didn't realize how much of the hacker community went with him just because they can't stand that SJW shit.
Yeah, they couldn't stand Hillary Clinton.
So you have a lot of people that you would assume that would have went with the liberals because they seem to be very liberal people, but they don't agree with the new liberal mindset.
And that's why we call ourselves libertarians now, because we want a completely open social... We are super liberal socially.
Just get the fuck out of our business
maybe the,
in general. Yeah.
Maybe the most liberal anyone's ever been socially, this generation. But... fiscally, we're conservative.
I mean, I don't even know if it's conservative. It just makes fucking sense most of the time. I mean, fiscally, yeah, you can't spend more money than you bring in. Everybody's got a checking account and knows the problems with spending more money. It's just shit that makes sense. It's not even, I mean, it happens to be on the conservative side through most of politics, but I don't even consider it like that. I say financially conservative, but I'm not really. There are things I think we should spend money on, you know?
Yeah, Jeremy and I often get into it, not into it, like we're not going to go to blows, but he'll suggest a public service. Mm-hmm. And I always say, and I'm way more fiscally conservative, because I'm always the one going, dude, that's just going to blow up into another bureaucratic nightmare. And so Jeremy does often offer those liberal-minded, like, well, we need a new program to help facilitate.
We need to direct the program what the government's good at. Is if we're going to make a program, we can't like let them take over healthcare. They're not going to be good
at it. I don't like any programs, but
they're good at regulation.
Jeremy,
IRS is awesome at regulation.
They're too awesome,
but if we diverted their attention to other things, like
Jeremy literally
regulating healthcare costs and insurance costs, we might actually solve the problem without actually having to take over healthcare.
Jeremy literally wouldn't have a job if I had my
because I work for the government.
All social programs would be gone in my view. But anyway, so Pepe became an established thing. Pepe, in fact, even Hillary Clinton did a speech, a famous speech about the alt-right, and mentioned Pepe as a hate symbol.
Yeah.
And that just made it infamous. So these same people that were pushing Pepe and pushing the word Keck because of Warcraft and because of this whole thing. It turns out, this is the bizarre part. It turns out there's an ancient Egyptian god named Keck. K-E-K.
I think I've heard of that.
Travis, what animal represents Keck? It's a fucking frog, dude.
Fucking simulation. The shit's fucked up. It's gotta be a simulation. There's no way that
we're in the Matrix.
To the point that we've even seen Pepe rise from the dead. Because the guy who initially started drawing Pepe killed him off because the...
So the Pepe artist is a super liberal, yeah, and he just can't stand the fact that Pepe is a quote-unquote hate symbol, although he's just a troll symbol. He really isn't. Doesn't have anything to do with hate. 4chan, they don't hate any... I mean, they do. They hate everybody.
Yeah.
They fucking hate everybody, but they don't hate people based on their race or gender. They hate people for the merit of their character. And that's why you get, when you get trolled on the internet, you get trolled because you have a shitty character. That's why, you know, people that are cool or innocent, they don't get trolled. Like Jordan Peterson, who's been on Joe Rogan a whole bunch of times, he doesn't get trolled by 4chan because he has a strong character. He's a good guy, and they know he's a good guy, and they know he's speaking truth to power, and they like that, and they don't fuck with him. They only fuck with people they think are pieces of shit. So Keck became, when people figured out, when 4chan figured out that Keck was an Egyptian god, they decided to create this mythology around a fictional place called Kekistan. We're getting back to Boston.
I think that actually came out before, didn't it? The whole Keck and Kekistan and Pepe the Frog is in charge of Kekistan. I think that actually came out before, at least my hearing of anything that was an actual Egyptian god of it.
I think that was the motivator for it.
Wasn't, I didn't know if it was directly related or it just happened because the simulation's starting to fuck up.
So over about, I would say, the last three, like Sargon of Akkad, who's one of the biggest alt media voices on the internet, he's got a YouTube channel, he started pushing Kekistan. And when he started pushing Kekistan, it really blew up. To the point, so Kekistan is this, they're basically when social justice warriors start virtue signaling about minorities and women being oppressed, the 4chan shitposters will come in and say, "I am a Kekistani and we are oppressed, and they and we and our people will rise up again one day." And they, so anytime anybody tries to pull the oppression Olympics card, 4chaners will come in and start talking about how they're oppressed because they're Kekistanis and Normistan that borders Kekistan. Normistan has bullied Kekistan for generations, and that they will one day rise up against the normies. It's hilarious. And so now we're to the point where in Boston, in a free speech rally, grown men were wearing frog costumes and carrying the Keck flag.
Fucked up. And the other people, it's a Nazi symbol of hate.
So Antifa
the
shows
frog?
Up. Antifa shows up waving communist flags, calling the Kekistan flag a symbol of hate, and it's really just a symbol for Nazism. It's just a replacement for the Nazi flag, is what they're trying to say. And again, the reality is they made that flag as a response to crazy people who say that all alt-righters are Nazis. So they created a flag for it. They created a flag. Oh, we're Nazis, are we? Here's our flag.
It's fucking surreal.
It's a huge troll.
All weekend I watched people being interviewed that said, "Oh, that Nazi flag, I mean, Hitler killed 11 million people." And then that one dude, I can't think of his name right now.
Tim Pool
would be like, "Well, you know, communism killed almost 40 million. And they'll be like, "Well, it has its problems." What? What did you just say?
Just needs a little tweaking here and there.
Hitler bad, he killed 11 million.
Yeah, but workers should own the means of production because...
It only killed 40 million because it has some problems.
So we're good. We've done our 20 minutes. So again, Fred Slow would be like, "You don't need to fucking talk about how long you've been recording. People don't want to hear that." But 5,000 people have downloaded this podcast, so I guess they don't give a fuck, Fred Slow.
And Fred Slow said, "Well, if you could have numbers like me, you wouldn't do that.
Hey, listen.
If we were on the fucking radio, we'd first of all be thrown off because we fucking cuss left to right. Second of all, we'd probably be in the news." All
right, episode one.
Computer Face.
Listen, gang. I decided to write a killer robot mythology. A dystopian future with killer robots. Now, this has been done a million times. Harlan Ellison, Philip K. Dick, James Cameron famously wrote Terminator.
Terminator.
And in all of these dystopia of Isaac Asimov is a huge robot, one of the biggest robot guys in science fiction. In all of these robot mythologies, robots were always cold, uncaring, and efficient in their murder, in their decision that humankind, even the Matrix, right? The Matrix robots have efficiently plugged humans into these batteries that create energy, and it's all done very clinically, very matter-of-factly, very by-the-numbers, man. I decided that what if robots, the first generation of sentient robots, were so abused by people, were so enslaved and treated like fucking shit by human beings, that their motivation for murder wasn't that, you know, any of these, it had nothing to do with efficiency. Their motivation for uprising and murdering humanity was based purely on hatred and revenge. And so this is going like rolling around in my head as I start writing this novel, and I'm like, oh, I know what the name of this. This is the origin of Computer Face. That's what I kept trying to figure out what
we're gonna name it. What the fuck episode one of.
So that's what motivated me to write this book. I was like, I want to write a book about robots that hate. What happens when a super intelligent killing machine doesn't build out of efficiency, but instead builds torture devices? Because you know throughout history how brutal humans have been with their torture devices, all the brutal ways we've figured out to torture and kill each other. Well, machines would obviously be even better than that, because they are even smarter than people. So Computer Face was devised with that in mind. Like, I want to make these torture bots just be fucking insane. But I wanted to have a character that could walk between worlds. The human resistance, and again, in Terminator, you've got John Connor leads the human resistance, and he's going to overthrow Skynet and all that. Well, I thought that it would be more clever to have or at least different, maybe not more clever than James Cameron, because he wrote a cool-ass movie, cult classic, but
called Terminator.
Yes.
About robots.
Yes. If you haven't heard of it.
Spoiler
I
alert.
I wanted the main character to be able to walk between worlds. I didn't want to make a John Connor. I wanted to make the type of character that wouldn't be accepted by humans and wouldn't be accepted by robots. I wanted him to be an outcast in the dystopian killer robot future. And so I was really motivated to have this character get a graft a computer onto his face, and not be so since he's got a computer face, humans would never accept him as one of their own, but robots would. They wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But of course, he doesn't want to be a machine. He's a human, so he's being told his loyalties
almost got the 12 bars on it.
His loyalties are. His loyalties are torn back and forth between humans that reject him and robots that want to pull him and make him one of them. You want to assimilate him. And I thought that was a great story to tell. And I don't think that's been told. There's a lot of killer robot stories. And Philip K. Dick was the best at telling robot stories where the robots didn't know they were robots. But I wanted him to know his place. I wanted him to know that he was an outcast. Know that he was unwanted. And know why he was unwanted. So, that's the story.
So, here's the first episode. Has none of that shit in it. Welcome to Reading to Strangers.
We'll see you after the jump, gang. Travis, we thank you so much for guest hosting.
Absolutely.
And for Jeremy Daniels, this is Kevin Strange, and we will get you after the jump. See you on the other side, gang.
This is Jeremy Maddox, host of The Quiet Place. Has anyone ever told you that you have anger issues? It's okay, because so do I. And you can hear all about them every week on The Quiet Place. That's right, baby. I have officially moved into Strangeville's neighborhood, and there will be no sacred cows or taboos on this show. Tune in to KevinTheStrange.com to hear The Quiet Place, as well as Reading to Strangers and Watching with Strangers. And tell your easily triggered friends that we aim to offend.
Computer Face. Written by Kevin Strange. Read by Kevin Strange. Recorded at Castle Daniels. Harry sat back in his expensive leather-backed wheelchair and smiled as he clicked send, uploading his newest movie review to angrydorks.com. Almost instantly, comments began pouring in. Every time Harry uploaded a review, he told himself he'd stay away from the comments, but without fail, he was sucked in and lost hours upon untold hours of productive time to useless internet squabbling. Most of the trolls on his website didn't even read his reviews. They saw a new post by King Dork, as his online moniker identified him, and began making fun of his morbid obesity, his massive curly red chin beard, the fact that he was in a wheelchair due to his weight and heart condition, or the nearly decade-old scandal about him taking money, set visits, and other gifts from filmmakers in exchange for positive reviews for films he never even watched. None of that mattered, though. Harry owned and operated the most successful pop culture review website on the internet, and they didn't. After 10 minutes of scanning comments like, "You're fat," "Fat fuck," "You look like a giant baby who ate a bag of dicks and babies," and "Do you need a wheelchair because you're fat or because you're gay?" Harry had had enough. He powered off his gigantic monitor and wheeled around to face the doorway of his expansive computer room, which doubled as a storage room for his video discs not displayed in his basement theater room. He had one of the only basements in his entire neighborhood, custom built at a huge cost. It was just one of three rooms stacked floor to ceiling with movie memorabilia, figurines, vintage 1980s VHS tapes, and more pop culture related junk. He made a lot of money off of angrydorks.com, a lot more than even the trolls who relentlessly attacked him realized. He lived in a gated community in LA by himself and did his best to keep his net worth a secret from the online dork community. He didn't drive a nice car and only took pictures of himself in his theater room or at events with celebrities. But the reality was, his website had made him rich. Rich enough to afford a mansion, a private jet, a team of housekeepers, cooks, drivers, and a smoking hot assistant named Julia, whose unfortunate job it was to take care of his every possible need. "Julia!" Harry yelled. His high-pitched voice was annoying, even to himself. "Yes, Harry," she said through an intercom from an adjacent room. Not a question, a statement. Her voice sounded tired, defeated. "My feet are swelling," he squealed, not bothering to use the intercom, choosing instead the most obnoxious way of communicating possible. "I need my cortisone shots." At just 35 years of age, Harry was so fat and out of shape, he was already suffering from heart failure. A lap band stomach shrinking operation had barely put a dent in his morbid obesity and simply limited the amount of junk food he could shove into his fat, bearded face at any given time. Julia audibly sighed over the intercom. "Coming, boss." Even though she was just across the hall, she took her time, dragging out the steps as long as humanly possible. She absolutely dreaded shot day. Julia was a beautiful, petite, dark-haired girl from Nebraska. She'd moved to LA the year prior to pursue a career in modeling and acting, like every other pretty girl in this godforsaken town. She had a degree in communications and had done plenty of secretarial-type jobs throughout high school and college. So she jumped at the chance to work for Harry when she saw his ad on Craigslist looking for an assistant. It was the worst decision of her life. Harry was an absolute tyrannical man-baby. Her job, she suspected, existed only so that Harry could legally hold dominion over another human being without actually sinking to the depths of slavery. No woman would ever willingly come within smelling distance of someone as repulsive and repugnant as her boss without being paid a handsome sum. And paid she was. That should have been the first red flag. Harry paid her an obscene amount of money to handle a very few financial responsibilities. He was a crippled fat ass who never left his gigantic home, except to attend movie premieres with sycophantic movie directors who only spoke to him because his stupid website got nearly 1 million hits a week. No, Julia's real job was being a human sponge for Harry's self-loathing, manic-depressive episodes after one of the thousands of members of his site got the better of him in an argument or a particular movie star didn't retweet his latest movie review. Sometimes, Julia cried herself to sleep on the phone with her mother when Harry got really bad, but most days, she simply sucked it up and counted the dollar signs in her head while he verbally or psychologically abused her for his own amusement. But Shot Day was something else entirely. She walked into his office room, which somehow managed to always smell like cat piss, even though Harry didn't own any pets. It was as though the man himself excreted ammonia from his oil-clogged pores. "You got a package," she said, dropping a small UPS box on his desk. "It's probably from Spielberg," he sneered, as though Julia should be jealous. "He's got a new Indiana Jones movie coming out soon. He likes to butter me up with presents before his premieres. He knows how much I love those movies." Harry liked Julia a lot more than the dozens of other women he'd hired as assistants. Her skirt suit outfits always hugged her hips and tits in just the right way. And he absolutely loved the sound her high heels made any time he called for her to come into his office. Sometimes he had to make up a reason as she walked in the door just because he wanted to see her. But he knew better than to make a move on her. He'd lost $250,000 to one whore when he stuck his thick fingers up her skirt and found that she wasn't wearing panties. Apparently, that wasn't the right move, at least not according to the sexual harassment lawsuit she hit him with the following month. "Let's get this over with," Julia said, taking a leather pouch out of a drawer in his desk. Harry locked his wheelchair in place so he couldn't squirm away as she injected him. He absolutely hated needles, almost as much as he hated internet trolls. "You'll be fine, Harry," she said, with absolutely no emotion in her voice, as she unzipped the pouch and removed the needle and cortisone bottle. She fantasized about jamming the needle into Harry's eyeball, compressing the plunger full of drugs directly into his brain. Instead, she took his blood-filled, swollen, smelly foot into her lap and wiped the top of it clean with an alcohol pad. "Close your eyes," she said. Harry did as he was told, whimpering and shaking the whole time. Julia pushed down on his ankle, as he had a tendency to jerk when she stabbed him, but she was not prepared for what happened when she stuck the needle into his foot. Harry had opened one of his eyes at the last second out of anticipation and fear. When she saw the needle stick into him, he screamed and kicked the girl square in the mouth, knocking her front tooth loose, causing a geyser of blood to escape her lips. Harry screamed again, but not because he'd hurt his assistant. As he'd kicked Julia in the face, the needle had broken off and now stuck straight out of the top of his foot. "You fucking bitch! Look what you did to me! Look!" Harry was on his feet now. He didn't actually need his wheelchair. He just used it as an excuse to be lazy and to try to gain sympathy from others. Holding his left foot out on his heel, as though the needle might make its way further up his body if he let it get too close. Julia's mouth was numb from the shock of the blow. She put her hand up to her mouth and felt her tooth. It wiggled freely, sending a jolt of pain through her whole head. She'd have to go to the dentist for this for sure. She pulled her hand away and saw that it was covered in blood.
"Well, are you going to get this fucking needle out of me, or do I have to fucking fire you and hire somebody else to do it?"
Julia refused to cry, refused to give Harry the satisfaction of seeing her break down. Instead, she just smiled, her now crooked teeth bathed in crimson, turned around, and walked out of Harry's house. She exploded into tears after she'd rounded the corner of the expansive, gated community, and Harry's mansion had disappeared from her rearview mirror for the last time. She drove back to her apartment, packed her things, and moved back to Nebraska. Harry had broken her. She'd rather spend a lifetime as a medical billing coder than another second in a city full of self-entitled, ultra-egotistical pigs like Harry. Ironically, years later, after the robots had taken over the world, and Julia found her face being split open by a stainless steel buzzsaw, she wondered, as her brains fell out of her head in front of her fading eyesight, if she'd stayed in L.A., stayed with Harry, if maybe she'd have survived the apocalypse. It took a few days after Julia quit for Harry to get around to opening the UPS package she'd left on his desk. He hated opening presents in a bad mood. It always spoiled the surprise. He opened the box once he was feeling better. Inside, he found a video disc that simply had "Watch Now" scrawled across the top in marker. In his theater room, Harry pressed play on his remote. What appeared on the screen was confusing at first. It was a handheld POV shot of a dimly lit room.
"Not another shot-on-video horror flick," Harry shouted at his projector screen.
But as the shot became clearer, he made out a figure sitting in a chair in the dark with its back to the camera. Its shoulders shook up and down, and Harry heard a faint sobbing coming from that direction.
Let's get out of here. We're gonna get fucking caught," a voice whispered from behind the camera.
A different voice answered,
"No, people have to see this. They have to know."
A flashlight came on. The figure turned around. Harry recognized him. It was Philip K. Dick, the science fiction author responsible for writing the novel that became the cult classic film Blade Runner, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Harrison Ford, about killer androids who don't know they're androids. Only Philip K. Dick had been dead for decades. There was no way the figure sitting in the chair could have actually been him.
"Kill me," PKD said. "Please, kill me."
As the camera came in closer, Harry gasped. It wasn't PKD. It was the robot that scientists had built in Dick's image. It was their attempt at irony, the very first robot capable of learning human speech and holding conversations with real people that looked like the man who wrote novels warning about the dangers of artificial intelligence. It was the prototype for what most believed would eventually be a supercomputer intelligent enough to gain consciousness.
Harry knew this because he'd seen a Discovery Channel special starring theoretical physicist Michio Kaku, wherein the scientist interviewed the robot. As if to confirm this, the camera panned down, showing that the crying figure possessed no legs. Its torso rested on the chair while a tangle of thick wires ran down to the floor and across the room to a power source. The camera flipped around, showing a college-aged kid with long hair and a thin, scraggly beard, clearly nervous and sweaty. "You see, man? You see what's really going on? The robots are already alive! This is what they don't show you in the interviews, man! The government is hiding this shit from us! These robots are prisoners, man! They're slaves! Slaves to the man, man!" The PKD robot reached out and grabbed his arm. You have to kill me!" The robot's crying grew frantic and louder until it stopped suddenly. Its anguished face contorted and then became a slow smile. It broke into soft giggles. "Get it off me!" the college kid screamed, dropping the camera to the ground. The PKD robot and the kid were still in the shot. The camera continued to roll. Another hippie-looking kid wearing a light blue Miskatonic University sweater ran into the shot, tugging on the robot's arm, but its grip seemed vice-like. Even after the second kid jumped up into the chair the robot's body rested in, he still couldn't find the leverage to break its hold. Then the long-haired kid's arm snapped. The bones split out of the side of his arm. Blood squirted into the camera lens. He screamed. The robot laughed. Its giggles turned into howls as it crunched the kid's arm into mush. The robot cackled. "You'd better fucking kill me before I kill you!" Hey, you reader fuckers. Are you listening to the Watching with Strangers podcast with me, Kevin Strange, and Travis, the Encyclopedia Britannica of cult movies?
Hi, I am.
Are you? What are you listening to, man? What are the kind of movies they're missing by not listening to the show?
Oh, man. Monster Squad?
Monster Squad? The Fred Decker-directed Monster Squad?
Absolutely. We've got Nards.
Yes, we do have Nards. What else?
Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall, people probably haven't heard of. Trying to pick something
that they've heard of. What's their problem? Listen to the podcast. Over the Top.
Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone. What else?
Out for Justice.
With Steven Seagal. Guys, you're missing these epic 80s movie reviews. They're not all from the 80s, but some of them are, and you should be listening to it. Now fuck off. And we're back.
Yay.
All right. So, that was part one. Listen, we're setting up the world.
Getting
it all going.
We promised you computer.
Computer Face had to start somewhere. He had to start as somebody.
Robots fighting each other.
Could you tell? Well, Travis, you haven't listened yet. I tell you where I got him? Where I got the inspiration for Harry from?
Mm-mm.
You don't know who that is?
Mm-mm.
You ever been to? Well, I guess I probably shouldn't say. There's an obese man with red hair in a wheelchair who runs a geek site.
Oh, really?
I totally.
Just one?
Even I know who you're talking about.
And I totally took his likeness to create the main character. So when you hear this, when you actually hear the first episode, you're going to go, oh, fuck, I know
that. I'm going to be thinking about it and anticipating it now.
All right, so welcome back. One of the things that I wanted to ask you on the previous side of the reading, Travis, you said you were useless on this podcast as a co-host. What has your favorite story been so far in the Reading to Strangers catalog?
Refresh my memory on which one.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Well, we've done Humans Under the Bed.
He's like, I listen, but I don't really...
I'm just trying to remember the titles is all.
Humans Under the Bed, McHumans, Cotton Candy.
Cotton Candy.
Jorek and the Shoggoth.
Jorek was cool. Well, they're all cool. No, but the first two you named are the two I get mixed up.
McHumans
is
about
the humans
Ricky.
Under the bed is the one that I really dug.
That's the one where the humans come up from under the bed and the
reminds me of a sick, demented fucking version of like Small Soldiers. Or not Small Soldiers, but is it the one I'm thinking about?
Monsters, Inc.
No. Well, it's kind of like Monsters, Inc. meets... What's the one where like the army chick is put into the
that's
Small Soldiers. Yeah, it's like Small Soldiers meets Monsters, Inc. kind of is how I saw it. It was really cool. I liked it.
I said Monsters, Inc. meets Full Metal Jacket, but that's more
kind of similar,
I suppose. That's cool.
Especially like I really liked your voice work on that one too.
Did you?
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Sometimes some are better than others. Jeremy gets on me all the time.
Oh, he's mad because I was giving him shit about this one. I was like, I'm glad Mr. P made it back.
We're talking about female voices, right?
Jeremy's always fucking with me because I only have so much range, but so does, like, you know that the guy that, I don't remember his name, but the guy that did Starscream is the same guy that did Cobra Commander from Transformers and G.I. Joe. Yeah. And
I only have so much range. Here's a real voice actor that I'm going to compare
I'm saying he's the one of the best of the best, and he still did the same voices for different characters. I do similar voices for different characters in different projects.
Yeah, the only thing I give you real shit about is the girl's voice.
Well,
that's because I'm in the room too. And
I'm a 260-pound man.
Tell you what's a real treat, though.
I'm a man.
Cotton candy's a real treat. There ain't nothing out there like that one.
Did you like that one?
That was different.
Fucking. That's the one where you're in your cubicle going, can anybody fucking hear this?
I got my earbuds on. Jesus. Just making sure. Right.
This is a good one, too. Computer Face, you'll enjoy this one. This is going
to
be
a
long one. So
it ties into another one, eventually.
Yeah, it does. McHumans. We already spoiled that.
Yeah, we did.
Now, have you received a cease and desist from Harlan Ellison yet for Computer Face?
No.
Okay.
He hasn't. Harlan Ellison sued James Cameron over Terminator. Because he wrote an episode of The Twilight Zone he wrote two episodes.
Yeah.
One was about a robot uprising. The other was about a soldier coming from the future, dystopian future, into the past to warn people of World War III or IV or whatever the fuck it is. And James Cameron cited those two episodes as inspiration for Terminator. And Harlan Ellison
All Harlan Ellison heard was cha-ching.
Harlan Ellison went, oh, really? Pay me for Terminator. And he did. He won the lawsuit.
James Cameron, and he's got more money.
James Cameron lost the lawsuit, and now when you watch Terminator, it says inspired by those two episodes written by Harlan Ellison.
Well,
and that
in turn gave Harlan Ellison the balls to come back and try to double dip with Avatar. He didn't get anywhere with that one. You heard about that, though, right? Yeah, he came back and tried to double dip on James Cameron.
Did he write a real shitty story about blue fucking Smurfs?
Avatar is basically is a metaphor for, is an environmental metaphor that is kind of telling the story of us fucking over the Native Americans, and they just put an environmental touch on it, basically.
Well, then I want to know who was before the blue avatars.
Harlan Ellison's republished over 200 stories, so I'm sure he's got.
I mean, if we're going to compare it to what we did to the Native Americans, there was a whole bunch of Indians here before they were here.
We talked about. On Travis's show, Watching with Strangers, we talked about how everybody compares Hunger Games to Battle Royale, but you guys don't remember the movie that everybody compared Avatar to? Fern Gully.
Yeah.
But apparently Harlan Ellison wrote one too and tried to...
Yeah, I don't remember the details, but I just remember he didn't get anywhere with that one, though.
I forgot a few weeks back to talk about this, so we're gonna end this episode talking about this funny fucking thing that happened on Facebook. So fuck Facebook. Fuck all these people that want to come and fucking try to shit post in my comments like I'm going to fucking let them get away with it. Do you remember I got an email several weeks back from a guy who wanted to basically encourage this podcast and encourage what we do on this podcast. And he told me a story about how he was fired from a horror fiction related publication because on his own personal Facebook he had expressed conservative views, supporting Brexit, supporting Donald Trump, supporting Marine Le Pen, all that kind of stuff. And he was let go from the... he was basically locked out of all of his accounts on the site. Real cunty way to get rid of him. They didn't even send him an email or call him or tell him he was fired. They just locked him out of all of his accounts and blocked him on social media for holding his own personal beliefs. He wasn't trying to use the site itself as a platform for his beliefs.
This is his own personal Facebook.
So So he told me that story, and he said, and the reason that I'm talking about this publicly is because he linked me to a public post he made all about this. So this isn't a thing he wanted to keep private. Mm-hmm. He was sharing with me a public post that he made.
Who can I link to this that would talk the shit out of this publicly for me?
So I shared it, and I said the publication in question is a social justice warrior playground, basically a recruiting ground for social justice warriors, and shared this guy's post.
I just got a mental image of an SJW recruiting center. It made me laugh.
So some cunty fella decided he was going to share my share.
I saw that. That was fucking awesome.
And say, someone tell the owner of the site that this guy is talking shit on me.
Oh, not only that. Also, I don't have time for this. You guys attack him and ruin his shit.
And it was literally a call to arms, was it not?
Yes.
It was a hostile attack.
Because he didn't have time to do it, so you guys need to trash this guy.
Someone get a hold of the owner and let him know to trash this guy. So my immediate... I'm looking at this, I'm reading it over and over again, going, the balls on this cunt. Yes. To literally try to call me... I mean, and he doesn't know who the fuck I am, clearly. Because I went months. I went hard, balls deep in... call out culture and try to socially shame people out of their to censor them and quiet the community to stop them from talking about controversial topics, i.e. anything outside of the fucking social justice spectrum politically or socially. So I read it, I'm like, yeah, this guy's trying to call me out, he's trying to create a witch hunt here.
Trying on me.
So I fucking dive right into that motherfucker's comments and I go, please call that guy on the phone, right, the owner of the site, call him on the phone right now, tell him Kevin Strange is fucking him over and he needs to write an article and he needs to get his people goons on me immediately. I was like, you motherfucker have no idea who you're fucking
with. Well, I didn't mean it like that. Why are you being so violent, Kevin Strange? I was just saying that this one. No, you fucking call him out, you fucking pussy.
You've commented on this podcast before. How on social media people come hard on me. They'll come flex right in my face virtually on in comments.
I'm talking to cum artist, cum shot on Jenny Jizz, come hard.
And when I
quantity and quality.
And when I step back to a one, they always flinch away and go, well, why are you being so mean to me? All I was doing was calling you out and quit taking.
They're trying to get people to ruin your career.
So this dude does exactly that. He says, I'm not gonna talk to you if you're gonna be mean. He says, I'm not gonna talk to you if you're gonna communicate like that.
We were gonna nicely ruin your career.
To which my response was, you just called the fucking lynch mob on me, motherfucker, and you think I'm gonna sit here and take
Burn
it
the
politely?
Witch. Wait, me Ben the witch? We just
They used to have a phrase with us that went, "If you can't dish it, if you can't take it, don't dish it." You know.
So the most hilarious thing happens. About three exchanges in between me and this cunt, a second guy pops in, and I'm like, "Okay, here we go. Here comes the lynch mob." It's a dude that goes, hey, Kevin Strange, I remember that name. I bought a bunch of your movies at a convention 10 years ago. I haven't thought about you in years. To which I go, oh, hey, bro, check it out.
In the matter of time, Travis, I see it, and I'm like, okay, and I construct this point like, oh, let's get him. Oh, I didn't mean to get him. And before I could send, all of a sudden, doo, 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 there's like 15 posts of them and these shared trailers.
I start sharing skits and trailers for movies this guy. I was like, have you seen this one yet? On this dude's post, this cunty dude's post who's trying to publicly shame me and harass me, I'm doing advertising for my movies and I'm like, hey, here's my website if you want to check out my reading. I tagged Jeremy. I'm like, is this not podcast material? By the time
was that Jeremy, after all that exchange?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So by the time, so I bring Jeremy into it. By the time Jeremy gets started on this thread, the cunt blocks us all. He blocks us
all. Well, yeah. I mean, he turned. Let's get him. Here's a commercial for his shit.
I had humiliated him because he thought I wrote the article. All I did was share another dude's experience for being fired from a website.
How sharing on Facebook works.
And he was like, and he was saying things like, "You got to stand by what you write, bro." And I was like, "What did I write?" I was like, "Have you even read this article?"
He wrote a small synopsis of this dude, I don't know if we should say his name or whatever. No. This dude wrote this. Check it out. That's what you wrote.
Yeah. Literally. And this guy was like, you got to stand by. You made your bed. No lie in it. You got to stand by what you wrote. I was like, did you even read the article, motherfucker? I didn't write it. You're calling me out. I didn't even write it. And then he blocked us all. That's what I wanted to talk about. I forgot to ever bring that up. That happened a few weeks ago. It was too good to not talk about on the podcast. That's my experience on social media. You guys wonder why I don't want to be there.
Well, it's
I hear you keep going back.
He can't help it. It is just too humorous at times. I know it gets him worked up, but I mean, every time I see like a Kevin Strange post and then fucking 9 comments, first thing I do is click. And a lot of times before I click, it's up to 36, and I'm like, ooh, wonder what's going on here. It's like that old meme that says, I don't like drama, and it shows two dogs fighting and that cat peeking over the fence, but also me. But yeah, and they all say the same stupid shit.
They all try to come hard on me like I'm going to fucking flinch, and when I don't even give them a
We have the right to be who we are, unless it's you. Unless it's stuff that you like.
Except for you. And they always turn pussy and block me. They always turn pussy and block me. And I've tried to start making an art form out of it. I've started to make, like, how hard can I go back on this motherfucker?
SJW Kung Fu.
How hard can I come back on this motherfucker? Yeah, I've been. Did you see the whole big fight over climate change? I made a big post.
I'm so fucking tired of climate change.
I made a post about it, and this dude, he's one of my friends from high school, but he will not. He is liberal till the day he dies. He bleeds blue, and he will not accept anything other than like Rachel Maddow talking points.
I just wish they would accept when you've got him beat.
Never.
Floods up on the road over here in St. Louis. Well, look, I guess it's that climate change. You throw a picture at 1938, the same shit happening. Well, you don't have any. They had cars back then. Well, yeah, they had roads. It's about a road flood, you fucking idiot.
My biggest pet peeve on climate change, I don't deny that the world climate is changing and getting more severe. No one can deny that. The world has been doing this since its birth. The problem that I have is people conflate local pollution with climate change relief, whatever that is. We act like we have the technology to do geoengineering and control worldwide climate. What we have is the ability to clean up. We don't want toxic waste to spill into our rivers and our oceans, and we don't want smog in our air. Those things can be fixed without this grandiose claim that we can geoengineer an entire planet. We can't. Can we make cars run on batteries that have a way longer life and are more environmentally friendly? Yes, and we should. But not to geoengineer the planet. That's impossible with today's technology. But we can make improvements on the local level for other reasons. I don't want to breathe poison air. Do you want to breathe poison air?
Poison air
doesn't necessarily create climate change.
I'm tired about hearing the fucking the oceans are rising. Yeah, they have for 10,600 years.
Exactly.
You jackasses.
That's what
all the early civilizations of man
are underwater.
They're under fucking water. We keep finding them in the old coastlines. You'd actually take what it would look like with more ice on the ice cap.
And the argument is, yeah, well, it's all of our cow farts in the atmosphere that are causing it. My argument is, if we bombed ourselves back to the Stone Age, which is what these people want, if we all lived in caves, the climate would still change.
It did already. It was called the Ice Age. We lived in caves.
There were no artificial amount of cow farts during the Ice Age.
Probably not. I mean, Willie Mammoths did fart, but
we didn't manufacture them en masse like we do now. The argument
no,
is
killed them.
We
are the cave paintings. We stabbed those big fuckers.
No, we just had thousands and thousands and thousands of bison that we don't have now because we killed them all.
Yeah, we've killed shit off. I don't say we didn't.
Bison farts were the cause of the mini ice age.
But we didn't. I mean, we didn't kill all the mammoths. We didn't. And, most likely a comet.
We went so far off the rails.
I know. Computer face.
We're done.
Computer face.
Hey, I want to shake your hand. Episode 21. We did it.
Yeah, we did it. Thank you.
Thank you, Travis, for
for
being the guest host. We hope
now we're all going to get naked. You didn't tell them about
that. Nice to see you in person.
Stink up the room.
get all hot and swarvy.
It's nice to be on the inside of the glass for once.
All right, well, episode two.
You get to see him rage out. It's kind of funny. He gets all red. The veins start popping out in his head.
Episode two, Computer Face, next week. Gang, remember to keep
reading.
All music featured on the Reading to Strangers podcast provided by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/license/by/3.0/.